Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. I am your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located in Pace, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about probably one of the top five requests that I get as an injector here. What do you think?
Probably. Should we say the title? Or make people go? They're going to see it.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's get somebody to guess, but everybody in the room knows what we're talking about.
Jowl Justice. Sierra didn't like the title, but we're talking about jowling.
I don't like the word.
Yeah, it sounds old.
When you do your assessment and you grab people's jowls and shake them, they never like that. Right?
Clearly. But it is something that we all struggle with, right? And I think it's just one of those natural problems that we have with aging. Some people have it more prominent than others. I hate mine. Like, I was actually trying my best to get on the schedule this week and just couldn't work out the time to do a treatment for some of mine. And we're constantly fighting with that. So,
yeah, there are lots of reasons for it, lots of causes for it, lots of treatments for it, but that's kind of what we're going to dive into and talk about.
Let me just cut to the chase. Do you think that we have effective treatments, or do you think people just need to go ahead and bite the bullet and undergo the knife?
No, I think we have effective treatments. I think we have effective treatments for mild to slightly moderate. I think we don't have any effective treatments that have any longevity. I think you can get a very temporary fix with threads. What are your thoughts?
I think we have better options now than we've ever had in the non-surgical space. I think you have to be like realistic with your patient expectations, but I think when we combine all the different modalities, I think we have pretty effective treatments. And we say, you know, short term, I do think that by short term, we mean not permanent, but for sure it's not. I'm not thinking weeks. I'm thinking like maybe up to a year, 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But it is, you're right, we do have more options now than we've ever had, I think, and we have different ways of using things that have been around for a long time that we haven't always used.
So yeah, we do have effective treatments, and that, I mean, I'm glad that we're on the same page because we offer a lot of them here. So I'm glad you believe in what we actually offer. Let's talk about what goes on and why do we have jowls? What is it that's the underlying process that then makes it universal that we see this in basically anybody that's aging, all skin types, all races, males and females alike?
I think number one thing that we see right now is loss of fat pads and the frequent use of the GLP-1s. We've seen a lot of it. We'll continue to see a lot of it, but the natural aging of the face, we have a descent of the fat pads, they change locations, and then the loss of collagen.
Yeah. So you mentioned GLP-1, basically, if those of you who don't know, that's all the weight loss shots that people are on right now. So different medications, and people are losing a lot of weight really quick. And one of the things that we constantly battle in the face is these fat pads, and people think they want to be skinny everywhere, but in reality, we don't want to lose lots of fat in our faces. It's what keeps it kind of full. It's what keeps it plump, keeps the skin looking supple. And so when you undergo rapid weight loss, a lot of that shrinks, it deflates, and everything kind of then moves south. And so we have these fat pads. Some are deep, some are a little bit closer to the skin surface. And as we lose weight, both of those fat pads are affected, but the deep ones are affected probably more. And we see then everything just kind of looks like it's melting on the face. And one of the areas it'll accumulate is right there in the jowling area. So then we can look, at some other things. We know that the bone resorbs. So our mandible, it will kind of shrink a little bit as we get older. The skin basically loses some of the elastin and collagen. So it actually it looks a little more leathery, it's not as supple, and all those things together contribute to this kind of hanging jowl area that everybody wants to kind of have snatched tight. So I think we have to understand what's going on under the skin, down deep all the way to the bone level, to come up with effective treatment plans to kind of counteract that.
So what's your favorite treatment?
Do you really have to ask?
I don't think anybody has to ask.
Nobody has to ask. Anybody should know. It is Sculptra. Sculptra obviously can address many of these underlying issues. Now, again, we use a lot of different things in our practice. And in reality, for jowls, I truly think the best treatment is combination therapy. If I had to just pick one, it would be Sculptra, and it's what I have a fair amount of in my face and my body. But we can recreate some of the volume that you're losing with weight loss in areas like the mid-face and the cheek, but we can also work on that elasticity in the skin. And so we know that we have increased collagen and elastin production. And so then when you look at that skin, it's much more supple, bright, it's a little bit tighter. And if we focus on the posterior thirds of the face, as that collagen and elastin develops, it pulls it back a little bit tighter. And so we see better definition of the jawline, less jowling.
I think you're hard on yourself and you talk about that you're ready for a surgical intervention, but I think that your jawline and jowling is probably better now than it was 3 years ago. And I think that that's because of a combination. And you talk about combination therapy. Do you want to run through, like, we talked about the marathon day that you had? Was that, it's been probably a year and a half or so. You want to talk a little, because I think that's important when you go through, we talked about anatomy and we talked about the skin, the fat paths, the bone loss, the ligaments. And so if you run through all of the things that you did that day, you basically addressed each one of those.
Yeah. They're just all natural, right? I mean, cause I want to maintain this natural look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That's the answer. Yes.
You're all natural. So now you want to say what you did that day?
It's all things to maintain this natural look. No, it is a lot of work. You're right. It's I just turned 51 and it was addressing like a lot of layers,
a lot of depths.
Yeah. And so I did a lot of energy based devices. So when people ask about fillers and substances like that, I don't do a lot of fillers. And so I joke about an all natural look, but it is things to kind of basically look at those, all those processes that are going on, and how can I counteract that? And so I did device treatment. So I did something called Ultera. It's something that we do here. It's an ultrasound tightening, and it works down at a deeper level than most of the other devices that we use. I like to do Ultera about once a year. It's been about a year and a half. And like I said, I was trying to get on the schedule this week for it, because it works down at a layer that we can actually target. It's called the SMAS layer. We can get all the way down in that fibrous layer and tighten up some of those areas. So it's truly one of the few devices that is approved for lifting. But then we, you know, look at other layers. And so we have the more superficial layers of skin, what's going on there. So I did injectable Sculptra. So Sculptra is, it's a biostimulant. So it basically tricks your body into making collagen and elastin on its own. I also did a plasma treatment, and so we can do several things. We can do Neogen or we can do Plexor. If you have really significant jowls, one of the things that I love now is the Plexor to do something called a J-lift, and it's where we're going in a specific pattern and removing that excess tissue and skin with that device. I also did a series of treatments called M-Face, and that's a device that works on tightening the muscles that kind of get loose and lax over time. But that's a series. You have to do that multiple times. And I did a radio frequency tightening procedure as well. So I did all those in one day. And so obviously that's a big recovery, and some of that required me to do multiple follow-ups. But then I didn't do a whole lot after that. I did another round of Sculptra. And pretty much nothing else now for about a year and a half.
But the other thing also that you didn't talk about that didn't occur just that day, but over the course of time, is good quality skincare. And so I think that regardless of what devices we use, if you don't have good quality skin, then you're not going to get the result that you obviously got from it. So, so combination therapy is clearly the best thing, because we address everything that causes the jowls. So the one thing we didn't talk about is some of the non-surgical, all of those were non-surgical, but the use of fillers to not correct the jowls, but to camouflage the jowls. And you want to talk about like treating the pre-jowl sulcus?
As we develop this jowling effect. It is a combination of things. And one of the things right in front of the jowls, kind of this, we call it the pre-jowl sulcus, but it basically means the hole in front of the jowls. And so patients will notice that it's like an indentation before their chin, but in front of the jowls. And so if we go in there and we correct that, we smooth it with some sort of filler, the jowls don't appear as prominent. So you have a little bit of bone recession in that area. And so I usually like to use a product there that's a filler that's what we call a high G prime. So it's a filler that's a thicker type of filler. So in our practice, we use a lot of a Restylane Lift in that area. So we go right down on that bone and we put a small deposit of that filler and it'll sort of camouflage that area. We also can put some of that or another product like a Restylane Define in the chin to elongate the chin, and we can go on the posterior part of the jaw. So the longer we can make that mandible, it'll also provide a little bit of support of that tissue so it doesn't sag as much in that area. So that's when we're going down to the bone and addressing that area. The other way that we treat that area is to go in with a cannula and put a filler and make that line where you don't see it as much, but we're going a lot closer to the skin surface or in a more superficial depth when we treat that area. There's some pretty big blood vessels in that area, some vascular structures like the facial artery that crosses over the mandible that we want to be aware of and not inadvertently inject. And so we use some safety techniques here. There are things that we teach in our classes on how we avoid those vessels and make sure that if you're a patient going to get these procedures that your injector understands the anatomy fully and why they're choosing a particular product to put in that area.
When you're talking about anatomy, another thing that we can do is the use of neurotoxin to relax the platysmal muscle that can pull down that area and also make the appearance of jowling be even worse than if those muscles were fully active. And then to dissolve any excess fat under the chin.
Yeah, so using something like an injectable, like like PCEC or Cabela, one of those products. Another thing that we get asked a lot about is thread lifts in that area. And you mentioned earlier that threads give us a little bit longer duration, but they're not permanent. I think the thread lifts are, and the results are directly related to the experience of that thread provider. And so I know when we first started, we probably didn't get the longevity out of the results that we get now, but I think that we've adapted our technique a little bit. We've learned more about threads. We use a different type of threads than we did in the beginning. And that gives us a little bit longer duration than we did in the beginning. The ones we used early on weren't problematic. They just didn't have as much of an anchor on them to kind of hold in place. And so we were seeing more like 6 to 9 months out of the results then.
Yeah, the threads now are designed differently. I think it's the same material, but it's just a different design, right?
Yeah, just the way they make them. And I don't think a patient would necessarily know that. They're all polydactinol is what we've used the whole time, which is a dissolvable suture. But some of the ones that we kind of train with and people use early on, they're called cut. And they basically cut little slices of that thread. And that makes it easy to adjust if there's a complication. The ones that you kind of use as you get more experience is called molded. And they kind of basically attach some hooks onto it. So it's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit harder to dissolve. It's also harder to adjust if you make any mistakes with it. And so it's not something that really people who are just starting with threads use very often.
Do you think the cost of doing these multimodal therapies are comparable, cheaper, more costly than surgical?
Over time, it may be close to the same price. So surgeries typically for like a lower facelift in our area is going to be somewhere around probably $15,000 to $20,000 roughly. You may get a little bit cheaper, a little bit more expensive in kind of the Southeast region. If you go to South Florida, New York, Beverly Hills, it's obviously going to be drastically different prices. With injectables, you're looking at several thousand dollars per treatment, and you're going to have to repeat that treatment every, 1 to 2 years. And so if you do a full face Ultera, all the things that I did, if I looked at just patient price on that, it would probably be a $5,000 treatment easily. And then I'm going to have to repeat that in a couple of years. So in 2 to 3 years, I'm going to be about at the same price point. That being said, if you have surgery, you're also going to have to repeat the surgery. Those are not permanent either. You know, they're probably more in the 5 to 10 year range, but at some point you're going to have that. It's the results will not be the same as it is during the first year after your surgery.
Yeah. I think cost is one thing that deters people from surgery. The other thing is most of these treatments that you just talked about have minimal downtime, little to no downtime, even with some of them. And so that's one of the things to take into consideration is what procedure matches the patient.
And I think the other thing that there's a misconception with surgery, surgery does an amazing job at tightening and lifting an area to pull it back, but doesn't do a lot for the skin quality, the skin texture. And so some of these things that we're talking about do an amazing job on the skin texture, the skin quality. And a lot of times when you have significant gelling, you have all those other problems going on kind of at the same time.
We see so much of that in patients and people that are oftentimes dissatisfied with the result of their facelift. And it's at that time, I think, that they understand or they realize that it's not necessarily the skin laxity, but rather the quality of the skin. Because we have a patient currently we're treating for, you know, perioral area that really didn't change much after a facelift. Jowls are much better, mid-face is much better, but there's still that skin quality still needs a significant improvement. So something to take into consideration if you are considering surgery.
So we'll put up some pictures on our YouTube on this podcast if you want to go look at what some of the other energy-based treatments will look like in terms of downtime. But really, to me, the Plexure device is a nice one to use to get rid of that excess tissue there. I think we're looking for some models now. I don't know. We'll probably already have it done by the time the podcast is released. But to actually show some nicer before and afters with that. But we can show you what the treatment looks like if you want to go over to the YouTube channel and see. Talking about social media, YouTube, jowling, and how it's such a trending and popular thing right now, let's talk about some myths and some things that people see on those channels. Any that you've had to address lately?
I don't know the name of it, but one of my patients had a purple. It reminded me I was a bad kid. And I have always talked probably more than I should and not necessarily at the appropriate time. So being at the dentist was one of them. And they'd put these rubber blocks in my mouth to keep my mouth jacked open so I wouldn't talk. And one of my patients asked me if this thing worked, and she pulled they were blue blocks that she pulled, and she uses them to clench, to strengthen her jawline.
That's so crazy, because we're doing things to like relax the masseter, to basically try to stop it. Danny's giving me some signal behind the camera there about how I'm constantly pulling on mine. That's more relaxed skin.
Chris does it almost every single time we film.
Yeah, they have to take the video monitor away from me because I'm looking at it all the time saying, I just want it lifted here.
If you have to pull back with your fingers, that's typically surgical.
You just said I didn't need surgery, but...
I don't think you need surgery. I think you're pretty.
Yeah, I need surgery. That being said, I don't have time for surgery. So that's the other common reason that people come and see us is they don't have the downtime and the recovery time, which fits into my category. So I'm not afraid of surgery. I think at some point I will end up with a surgical intervention, but it just doesn't fit in our schedule or our lifestyle right now. So it's much easier for me to do these non-surgical approaches and try to maintain until I get to the point that I have the time to actually do that.
I did surgery, but you just told me I only had one day off, so I had to come right back.
I know. I mean, you know.
You can take off Saturday.
Yeah, I give you Saturday and Sunday off. People are going to hear that and think I control your schedule. That's Sierra that controls your schedule, not me. So miracle gadgets are one myth. To me, that also kind of falls into the same sort of thing as face yoga and chewing gum. It's like maybe face yoga helps you relax. It helps you, I think, be more aware of your expressions and your muscle control. And so maybe that helps in that awareness and meditation space, but I don't really think it does a whole lot for jowling.
Another trend that, and I do think this has gone away, is overfilling of the jawline. A very masculine jawline on a very pretty feminine face. We've had numerous patients that we went through a spell where we were having to dissolve jawline filler. And they almost would look like a Rock'em Sock'em boxer, those little animes that were out. But I think we've gotten away from that.
Yeah, I kind of want to, I mean, we can also put this on the YouTube as a picture for people to see, but I'll try to describe it for those listening as well. But in general, we see the distance between the cheekbones should be wider in a female than the distance between their jawline. And so it should make like a nice V shape if we drew a line down each side of their face. And in a male patient, those lines are about the same. So if we go from cheek to cheek and jaw to jaw, and it should be like a square. In a female, it should be like a V. But what we saw is people putting lots of filler in the jawline to try to make the skin tight. And as they would try to fill that area up like a balloon, it would stretch the jaws wider and wider. And as it would pull it out pretty wide, they would get a more masculine look. And so maybe their jawline was stretched tight, but they didn't like what they saw in the mirror. And I talk about this a lot in the classes I teach and the conferences that I speak at, but it's inadvertently or mistakenly kind of masculinizing a female or feminizing a male patient. And that's really not the intent on most of our patients. So it's kind of understanding those principles as we go to put things in. The other thing I think people do is sometimes make them worse. They don't understand where they're putting the filler. And so they're aiming for something like the pre-jowl sulcus, but they're putting it in the jowl itself. And I'm like, this is a gel. It's a substance that's going to add weight or add volume to any area we place it. And it amazes me when I watch people inject that it's so clear in my mind from seeing it a lot of times where they'll go right into the area that they are not supposed to be in, but they don't have that three-dimensional understanding of anatomy yet. And it takes, I think, sometimes either anatomy classes or years of injection experience for them to develop that sort of three-dimensional approach, because they'll tell you this is what I'm trying to fix, but then they'll put it exactly in the wrong place.
I think there's are a lot of factors that are there for that go into treating that area. And it's a problem area, is something that happens to people of all ages. What do you think is a good age to start treatment?
Oh, like preventive treatment?
Preventive.
Oh, preventive treatments, probably in your early to mid 30s would be my best, you know, guess, because that's before it's easier to treat it as we see it develop than to wait until it's already a problem. And so I think looking at some collagen stimulating procedures, so I don't think everybody needs fillers at that age. I think it's a case by case. You have to do a consult and make a plan for that patient, but you certainly can start collagen stimulating treatments in your early 30s, because we're starting to lose collagen, lose elastin. Even in our late teens, early 20s, we start to lose that. And then depending on a lot of lifestyle factors, smoking, sun exposure, weight loss, all those things can accelerate it. So I think it's hard to say just an exact age. It really depends on that patient. But if you're out there and you're having a healthy lifestyle, keeping your weight stable, probably find an aesthetic provider near you to at least come up with a consult, get on a good medical grade skincare, as soon as possible, really, but at least in your early 30s. And that's a good age to start trying to prevent some of these bigger problems we see.
Skincare and sunscreen in 20s. And like you said, and we said, I didn't realize it was even on the outline about the quality of your skin, like really improving your results. And that's one of the final things on here and takeaways is skin quality. So important to start young, and then it'll decrease your need for some of these other treatments as you get older.
Are you happy with your surgical results?
I am happy, but I can also see that I'll probably have another surgery in the next, like, probably before 10 years.
He's about to say 6 months.
No, I'll let you have what you need first, what you want first.
So I think, to me, the thing that I use when we talk about ourselves, examples a lot, and I talk about yours, is how many things we did try non-surgically, and you still ended up with a surgery. And so I think for people also at some point to reevaluate, are they going closer to or further away from their goals? So what's your goal? Are you moving closer to that goal with your provider, whoever it may be? Or are you putting a lot of money and you're not moving in at some point to say, okay, surgery may be my best option? And that's what we realized with you. We had spent some money, quite a bit of our, even at our cost, and we weren't really getting the results that we had hoped for, that you had hoped for. And you said, okay, I need to go and look for surgery because I do have some excess skin I want taken care of.
Well, genetically, my skin's not in my favor, so.
Yeah, yours good. I mean, we do a lot. It's in good, great condition, but you do a lot to keep it in that condition. And I think even looking like your jawline was like really well defined after your surgery. So I think it's a really successful result. But if you look at how I think it's a good example of how, even as you're aging, the pre-jowl sulcus is there, right? And so even with surgery tightening it, we'll probably still put little bits of filler there, is my guess. Same as me. We'll need little bits here and there.
All right.
They're giving us the time signal that we have this exciting episode to start now. Are you ready for this next one?
I'm ready for it. Are you?
Yeah, I'm ready for it. You guys will just have to stay tuned to see what it's about. So we'll see you next week on another episode of Beauty and the Brain. Thank you for tuning in.
We'll see you soon.